Okay, let's begin. I hope at the end to leave time for any questions regarding anything about the Inyanim of Purim, about having Purim on a Friday, and any other questions, feel free. Hopefully there'll be time at the end. But tonight, see on top, let's discuss one of the mitzvahs of Purim. We know there's a lot that goes on all the Yom Tovim that we, Baruch Hashem, have this chus of observing. We always have to know what's the mitzvah d'araisa, what's the mitzvah d'rabanan, what's minhag, what's the banging of the hamon, where does that fit in? We have to know what exactly do we have to do and what's nice to do and what we don't really have to do. There are four mitzvahs on Purim. Four mitzvahs d'rabanan on Purim. Again, the whole concept of Purim is mid'rabanan, is rabbinic in nature. It's not from the Torah. It's a rabbinic holiday. But there are four mitzvot that men and women have to observe. This is one of the three times in the Gemara where the concept of Afhein Hayu Ba'osu Anes occurs. Because the miracle involved women, some say because women were at the forefront of the miracle, Esther Hamalka, so that is why women are also included in the mitzvot of Purim. So the four mitzvot are, number one, to have a seuda. Seudas Purim by day. We say you have to have the seuda by day. We'll talk about, again, at the end, if you want to talk about the Friday, it might be different than a regular year. Number one. Number two, you have to hear the Megillah two times. Once by Laila and once by Yom. That's mitzvah number two. Number three is Matanos Levyonim, to give money to at least two poor people. That's mitzvah number three. And number four, which is the mitzvah that we're going to discuss tonight, is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, sending presents, two items, to one person. Matanos Levyonim is money to two different people. Mishloach Manos is two items to one person at minimum. Again, everything more you send is wonderful. But those are the four mitzvahs of Purim. We're going to discuss tonight one of those mitzvahs. And again, hopefully in the future, we'll be able to discuss others as well. Okay, let's start off with a question of the Trumas Hadeshin. That's how we'll get into the topic. The Trumas Hadeshin was one of the early Achronim, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin. He lived in the 1500s. And he is unclear whether he was asked these questions or he wrote his own questions. His sefer is in a question and answer form, Shilas V'Shuvos, but it's not clear whether he was asked the questions or he wrote them himself. But either way, in source number one says the Trumas Hadeshin, She'ila. B'nei Adam Asholchin L'Chavireihem B'Purim Chalukim V'Sadinim V'Chi Hagavna. Let's say you send your friends clothes for Mishloach Manos, or linens. Yotzei Midei Mishloach Manos Olav. Can you be Yotzei the Mitzvah? Again, we don't do it. But can you Yotzei sending? Let's say your friend needs, you saw this wonderful blouse and you were there, you bought two of them, you know she'd love it. So send it for Purim, Mishloach Manos. Send a blouse and a grape juice. So she needs it. So can you be Yotzei the Mitzvah with clothing, with linens? So if I would ask you this question, okay, it's not done, but what would you say? Well, I'm sorry? Two brachas. You can't make a bracha on food, right? At least you can't make shechianu. You can make a shechianu, but that's only one bracha. Maybe, what if you say clothes and a drink? What if you say clothes and a drink? That's two brachas. But you're right, but what is that in Akhenami? So what does that reflect? The fact that we know that we're supposed to send two brachas. What is two brachas? So if that's the case, if that's, where is that quoted, that idea of two brachas? But, if Dina was running the shiva, she would say, no, you have to say two brachas. There's no, you're not allowed to. Anybody else? Agree? Disagree? Yeah. What does a mana mean? What does a mana? A portion of food or a portion? Mana means a portion, but you're right. Somebody, the man, maybe the word man comes from mana, it was a portion. Maybe that's the original root of the word. But that was the question that he was asked. His answer is exactly what Adina said. A little different reason, but that's in Shita as follows. Tshuva, line number one. Yira. De'ein yotzin bahen. You're not yotzin with this. And this is approach number one. We're going to have two very different ideas behind the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. This is going to be number one. De'nira, de'tam, de'mishloach manos, hu, k'dei shi'yehe l'kol echad, daiv v'sapek l'kayem ha'se'uda k'dina. The point of Mishloach Manos, the ultimate purpose of the mitzvah is to provide the recipients with something that they could use for the se'uda. Drink, food, etc. So that is the purpose of Mishloach Manos. Therefore, he says you can't send food. You can't send non-food. Tablecloth, I'm not sure about. I didn't see anybody talk about it. That's like somewhere in between. But you could use it for the seudah. But he says you can't use it. Kidemashma perakamah de Megillah, as it says in the Gemara in Megillah, which hopefully we'll get back to at the end of the shiur. Rabbaya bar Avin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, these two great rabbis in the Gemara, having machalfin su'udasaihu bahadadi, they used to trade meals on Purim. Reuven sent Shimon his meal, and Shimon sent Reuven a meal. But nafki b'achim yishalachmanos. That's how they were yotei shalachmanos. So that Gemara doesn't prove that you have to send food for shalachmanos, but it sounds that way. If you could send a meal for shalachmanos, says the Shumas Hadeshen, it must be that that's the purpose of the mitzvah of mishalachmanos. Alma, the time of mishim seudahi. So you see that mishalachmanos is a din, it's part, it's of the seuda, and therefore you have to send something that could help the person fulfill their seuda. The sunira, and then the second point he says, the middle of line three, is Aviva's point. The loashkan bishim makom to mikri manos elamidi to mikli or mishti. You don't find anywhere in all the places where manos, that word appears, that portion always means an edible portion, eating or drinking. Again, it doesn't bring a raya where, what other places do we have the word manos, which means food, but that's what the Trumas Hadeshin says. So, Mishloach Manos has to be with the Seuda. By the way, it's not in the sources, but that's also, based on this idea, is why, you know, next Shabbos is what's called Purim Mishulash in the walled cities. Right, we have Purim on Friday, but in Yerushalayim and any other city that was walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they have Purim officially next Shabbos. It's Tezvav. Tezvav Shushan Purim is on Shabbos. So what do you do? So that's the menshir next Shabbos, but just the Lamaisa, what is done, if you have any relatives in Yerushalayim, it's called a three-day Purim. Purim Mishulash, because it's split over 3 days. Friday, they read the Megillah, and they do Matanos Lavyonim. Shabbos, they say Alanisim, and they lane the laning of Purim, Vayavo Amalek. And on Sunday, they have the Seuda and Mishloach Manos. Three-day Purim. So they eat their Seudas Purim without Alanisim and benching. Amazing concept. But that's what it does. It's a three-day Purim. That's what's called Purim Mishulash, this type of year. But the many poskim say, but why did Mishloach Manos go with the Seuda on Sunday? Why doesn't it go with Matanos Lavyonim and Mishloach Manos? Don't they always go together? So the answer is no. The Stukka, you don't push off Stukka. Matanos Lavyonim, you give on Friday. Right away, when the Aniyim, the Gemara says when the Aniyim hear the Megillah, they know that they're going to get Stukka. That's why we can't push it off. That's why it's done on Friday. But Mishloach Manos has to go with the Seuda. Because that's the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos, says the Shumas Hadeshen. So that's why Sunday gets the Seuda and Mishloach Manos. But again, it's based on this idea of the Shumas Hadeshen, why you're not allowed to send clothes. That is number one. If we look at the Rambam doesn't say this explicitly, but as many times as when one analyzes the Rambam, it's not as much what the Rambam says, but where he says it and how he structures what he says. That's also part of analyzing the Rambam, looking which halachos he puts together in the same paragraph. So let's see what he says. In the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, says the Rambam in source number 2, Ketzach chova seuda zu sheyochal basar v'yisakin seuda na'e kefi asher timse yado. The chiyuv, the obligation of this seuda is to eat basar. But I was asked, could you have milchiks? The Rambam clearly says no. Sheyochal basar, should eat meat. V'yisakin seuda na'e kefi asher timse yado. Right, a beautiful, should have a nice seuda. A nice seuda, says the Rambam. V'sho seyayin ad yishtaker v'yirdam b'shichrus. And drink wine. Again, this is not for now, but the mitzvah of drinking on Purim is part of the mitzvah of the seuda. There's no mitzvah to drink at night. There's no mitzvah to drink at other times when you're not having your seuda. The mitzvah, it'll be next year, Shir, the mitzvah is as part of the seuda. But then look what the Rambam says on line 4. V'chein, that's a key word. And also, that one word is linking what was said before and what's about to be said. Also, connected to the Seuda, one is obligated to send manos of meat or cooked foods, etc. As it says, line 7, whoever sends a lot of presents, Meshubach is praiseworthy. So the Rambam says, you have to have a meal, and then he says, and also you have to have Mishloach Manos. So what does that tell us? That one word, v'chein. Connected, because just contrast it with what he says on the first really wide line. Halacha tezayin, all the way at the end of the really wide line. First of all, a new halacha in the Rambam. It's tezayin. It's a new halacha. And then he says, v'chayiv l'chalik l'aniyim yom ha'purim. You have to give matanos l'avyonim. There's no v'chein there. There's no and also you have to give Matanos Lev Yonim. No, there's no Bechain. It's not connected. Matanos Lev Yonim is a separate mitzvah, separate idea, and it's a separate halacha in the Rambam. But grouped in the same halacha in the Rambam, and also with the Bechain, and also the Rambam connects the Seuda with Mishloach Manos. In other words, seemingly saying the same idea that the Truma Sadeshin said a couple hundred years after the Rambam, and that is that Mishloach Manos is about the Seuda, it's about supplying with the recipient food and drink in order to be able to have the Seuda. Yeah. Ah, excellent. So according to this, yes. According to this, having guests for the Seuda, that itself is Mishloach Manos. There is a chumra of one of the achronim, the Binyan Sion, Baruch Lener, or Yaakov Ettlinger from the 1800s, who has the possibility maybe have to send it through a shliach, through a messenger, because it's mishloach manos. But he himself doesn't hold that way at the end. He has a suffix about it, so we generally do not assume that you have to do that. We assume that you don't need a shliach. Just give it right away. Yeah. Right. Mishloach. Meaning through a shliach, for a shliach. See, he's machmer like the Havamina of the Binyan Sion. But if you look at the Binyan Sion in the Tshuva itself, he doesn't seem to hold that way, Lamaskana. The Mishnah Berurah says he has a suffix about it. So we read the Mishnah Berurah. But if you look in the source that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, he doesn't seem to, most people don't even quote that. The word Mishloach sounds like shliach, but really we just say it means you have to send, but you don't, we don't hold that you have to do it through a shliach. Okay, your father is Minag Doshim, it's fine. So it depends. Well, you have to give and your husband has to give. So then he has. So again, but the das is, the assumption is that when you have something and you're giving it, so your husband is basically saying that's yours and you're giving it, and right. So you each have to give one, right? Matanos Lev Yonim is to two people. Shlach Manos is only to one person. Okay, no, it's on behalf, Ishtuk Gufo, but throughout the day, everybody's going to give two by the time who's coming to the door, and, you know, unless if the husband, which I screamed at them on Shabbos, hopefully most of them are not going to work on Friday, but if they are, then it's going to be a problem. What if they get home right before Shabbos? Wait, I gotta make sure to... I tried, but again, they're... Okay, so that is all idea number one, that... Mishloach Manos is a din in this. It's a part of the din. It's a part of the seuda. But there is a totally different idea in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and this is known as the shita of the Manos Halevi. Source number four. Who's the Manos Halevi? This is probably the one most famous Manos Halevi. The Manos Halevi is a commentary on Megillat Esther, written by Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, who is the author of Lecha Dodi. That's what he wrote. Lecha Dodi. That's what he's. I don't know. But he was about the Manos Halevi, but he wrote a commentary on Megillat Esther, and there were these two comments that he makes in his commentary, which all the achronim of the past 500-600 years have picked up on in interpreting the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Source number four. The Manos Halevi writes as follows. Who must beer as mitzvah... I didn't give it to you in the original because it's very unclear print, so I just gave it to you quoted in another sefer. The purpose of Mishloach Manos is to create unity, to create atus amongst fellow Jews. It's to parallel and to remember the unity that the Jews of Shushan came together in years back. They had to come together in order to fight for their life. In order to, Esther Amalka said, you have to fast with me for 3 days, you have to gather in the shuls, you gotta act seriously, you gotta do tshuva. Gav Keneged Divrei Havela, and also Keneged, to counter the words of Haman, who said, there's a nation that's scattered amongst you, Achashverosh, you should be scared of them. So we say, you think we're scattered? We're unified. So in those days, they became unified. So to counter that, we have the mitzvah Mishloach Manos, says the Manos Halevi, which the ultimate purpose is to create achva v'reus, to create unity amongst Klal Yisrael. Nothing to do with the seuda. He doesn't mention the word seuda. It's achva v'reus, that's what he says at the end. L'harbos ha'shalom v'hareus. If this is the reason of Mishloach Manos, or the time behind the reason, so if we think back to the first question, then what's wrong with non-food items? That creates just as much, achva v'reus, as food does. So the rest of the Shia, we're going to go through various halachos of Mishloach Manos, and we will see it might depend, what the halacha is, might depend on what your reason is of Mishloach Manos. Is the reason to provide for the Seudah, or is the reason to do with the Seudah to create a feeling of unity, a feeling of Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael? Halacha Lamaisa, we're trying to be machmir, as we'll see, like both opinions, but let's go. But again, number one, halacha number one was, can you send non-food items? That's the difference, depending on the reason that you hold of. Number two, let's get to the second halacha, which might depend on these two reasons. Source number five, the Ramah. The Ramah, in Aruch Chaim, in the discussion of Mishloach Manos, says, Ramah, just look at the underlined line, V'im sholeach manos l're'ehu, v'hu eino rotze l'kablam, o mochelo yatza. Let's say you bring a beautiful basket of fruit, of stuff to your neighbor, and the neighbor says, oh, I can't. It's that's too much. No, you take it. You know, I got the message. I got the feeling. No, please, give it to somebody else. It's wonderful. I'm so happy you brought it. You thought of me. Yeah, but please, I can't take it. They're mochel. They say, no, it's okay. So where you yotze, you're mitzvah. The Ramah says, yotze. Ramah says, you were yotze, it's okay. Oh, theoretically, again, Baruch Hashem, today we give 50 shalach manos. But let's say, you know, you live in a... I remember when I was in yeshiva, so how do you, and you're in the dorm, how do you yotze shalach manos? You're going to, you know, you buy a few Kit Kats and, you know, a few things, and you buy soda, and you give it to your friend. Like, you're not home, unless you're going to come home. You're going to come home late in the day, or let's say you're going to a friend to have a bunch of yeshiva guys together for the Suda, so you're not always half. So let's say you only have a couple of shalach manos. You got to make sure you yotze with the ones that you're giving. So let's say you go to somebody, and they say, no, it's okay, I'm mochel. So what would you say? The Ramah says you're yotzei. So what do you think? What should be the halacha? Sorry. So if the reason is based on achva v'reyu, is to create unity, to create good feelings amongst Klal Yisrael, then you did. I'm yotzei by mitzvah. I created that feeling. My neighbor knows that I love him. Right? That's achva v'reyu. That's the svar. That's what the Ramah seems to hold. The Ramah seems you're yotzei the mitzvah, says the Ramah, even if they don't accept it. But if we would say the reason is, like the first approach that we said, that it's based on providing them for the Seuda, so then it's very possible that they have to at least have the possibility of using it for the Seuda. Okay, if they don't use it in the end, it's okay. But as long as they should have to, you know, at least have the possibility of using it. That's why we give grape juice. That's why we give other food items that could be theoretically used for the Seuda. But again, this issue of whether if somebody is mochel, if somebody declines that from taking it, can argue yotze your mitzvah, so that could depend on the two approaches of Mishloach Manos. Yeah. So that's again, is it are you not yotze your seuda without meat? It's a lachachila. You're supposed to have fleishiks. But again, you could have put other things too. You could put four things in, and at least two of them could be used for the Suda. Put an grape juice and an orange and a dairy. You could put a whole thing, as long as two of them are power. Right, unless maybe if they have a very long Suda and they're yuckies and it's only three hours and, you know, they'd also, I'm sorry, they could have milk first and then clear off. Again, we're lechatchila Jews. Right? So we're supposed to have meat. Again, if somebody pushes me to the wall, and as I'll say at the end, if you ask me, we're not supposed, like this Friday, we're not supposed to have a three course. We have to have a huge suda. You know, you don't have to have a humongous suda. You're supposed to have a suda where you eat a nice whatever. You can have a deli sandwich. You can have serve a piece of meat. So you don't have to have fish and soup and this. You know, they don't need that Friday morning. So we're not supposed to have that on Fridays. But it's a suda's berm, you have. So again, hopefully I'll talk about that at the end. But this is the second idea that might be dependent on the two different approaches in Mishloach Manos. Number one, could you send nine food items? Number two, if the person, the recipient, is mochel, so then does it still work? This is also, before we get to the third halacha that would depend on these different issues, there is an interesting discussion, a side discussion that is related to this Ramah, that talks about mechila. And that is, why is there no bracha on Mishloach Manos? We know on every single mitzvah that is done in Judaism, there's something called a birchas hamitzvah. Chachamim, even by a mitzvah d'oraisa, but there's a coming called a birchas hamitzvah. We make a bracha. And if there isn't a bracha, there is always a reason why there isn't a bracha. There is a discussion about every single mitzvah that we don't make a bracha on. We paskin Ashkenazim, paskin that even, let's say, women who aren't mechuyavos in mitzvah that says not grama, we make brachas even on mitzvah that we're not mechuyavos in. Right, when women shake a lulav, when women, unless Sfaradim don't, Sfaradim paskin like the Bechaber, like the Rambam, that say you don't make a bracha when you shake a lulav. But Ashkenazic minag, if you follow the Ramah, is that you make a bracha when a man is blowing shofar for 40 women after davening, and he was ready yosef, he makes a bracha. Why? Because we paskin, you can even make a bracha on mitzvahs that we're not obligated in. So we make brachas. So what about Matas Lav Yonim? Exactly. What about Matas Lav Yonim? So what's the whole? So there are many. So again, I give you, if you want to do some interesting reading, if you have a chance this week, in source number 6, there's a Tshuva of the Rashba. It's straightforward. It's not hard. It's not a hard discussion. He goes through about 30 mitzvahs, why there's no bracha. Why there's no bracha on this, why there's no bracha on Kibbutz Avayim, why there's no bracha on many different mitzvahs. There's a whole discussion. What about Puravu? Puravu is also a mitzvah. So is it because, when are you going to make the bracha? What, right before the baby comes out? Gonna make the bracha. When you gonna make the bracha when you get married? So some say the bracha at the wedding under the chuppah. Maybe that's a bracha on Puravu. The bracha on Erisin. So the Rosh says that's it's connected. But again, this by every mitzvah there's a discussion. If there is no bracha, why isn't there a bracha? So some suggest that mishloach mat. There is one idea by tzedakah. Matanos Lav Yonim. Why isn't there a bracha matanos Lav Yonim or by tzedakah? So some say because the ani might refuse it. If there's any mitzvah that is dependent upon somebody else, so then there is no bracha, because there is going to be a bracha levatala. Here, no, I don't want it. I have my pride. I don't want to take it. Right? So let's say the ani refuses. So that's what the Rashba says, there's no bracha on tzedakah. But any mitzvah that's totally on somebody else, you don't make a bracha. There's even, in a similar way, I just gave it to you, it's just an interesting source, in the source number 7. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid at a wedding. So what's our minhag? So what do? We make a bracha at a wedding, the Masada Kedushin, on behalf of the Chassan. Says the Tivano, Arayel, Zazlan, Zarusos, that's the bracha on Kedushin. And then after the brachas, and the Chassan takes the ring, Harayat, Mekudesh, Azlib, the Bazu, puts it on the Kala's finger. So the act of Kedushin is done after the bracha. First is the bracha, the Birchas HaMitzvah, and then the mitzvah is done. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, you make the bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. Says the Ravid. The rabbi said, no, you can't make the bracha beforehand. What if the woman says no? What if she says, no, okay, I'm sorry, I have cold feet. So, right, just like the case of the tzedakah, maybe she'll say no, the bracha levatala. So the rabbi says, okay, you can say it afterwards. That's the rabbi shita. But again, many say that by other contexts, other mitzvahs, we say, you don't say a bracha that's only on somebody else. So there are some that suggest, maybe that's by shalach manos too. By mishloach manos, maybe there's no bracha, because maybe they'll refuse. Maybe the recipient will refuse, and then it'll be a bracha levatala. That is a suggestion by some why there is no bracha on mishloach manos. That's a suggested in source number 8, the Maritz Chayis, one of the greats of 150 years ago. Somebody quoted him this suggestion. Chacham Echad, a wise man, came over to him and said, you know what, I think there's no bracha on mishloach manos because, you know, maybe the person will refuse, and then you won't be yotzei your mitzvah. So what's the problem? What's the problem? We just saw the Ramah that says, you are yotzei the mitzvah, even if they refuse. So that can't be the reason. Says the Maritz Chayis, that can't be the reason, according to the Ramah. The Ramah says, you're yotzei even if they refuse. So it's not totally on anybody else, as long as you give it. So, says the Maritz Chayis, it has to be another reason, right? Because the Ramah holds that it's part of achdus. So if it's a part of achdus, it creates achdus, then you're yotzei even if they refuse. That has to be a different reason why there's no bracha. So, and this is the final point, and then we get to the next part of the next halachic discussion. That is a beautiful idea from the Sri De'esh, or Weinberg, who has another couple of famous shuvas from earlier in our century. We're skipping source number 9, going to source number 10. The Sri De'esh says as follows. What did Vijay say the Ramah is holding? The Ramah says that Mechila could work. You ought to be Mochel, and I'm still Yotzi my mitzvah. Why? Because he holds that Mishloach Manos is just to create friendship, to create unity, to create great feelings among Jews. Says the Sri De'esh, when a person comes to my house, stands in front of my door, either he can say, ah, here you go, this is my present for you. What if he comes to my door and says, Baruch Adu Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem's telling me to do this, here's your present. That shows achlus to me. He loves me? He loves Hashem, he doesn't love me. Says the Sri De'esh, if you make a bracha on Mishloach Manos, that's defeating the whole purpose. Because then it shows that you're doing it because Hashem told you to do it. Asher Kedushanav Lo Zivanu. So he says that's the Ramah, that's the Ramah's whole point. The Ramah holds that the whole idea of Mishloach Manos is to create achdus and unity and friendship and love. So making a bracha before the act would undermine that whole message. Because then the message will be, Hashem told me to do this. But the point is that I want to do this myself. I want to do this because I love my friends. That's what the Sri Deish says. You could just read it. So it just dovetails beautifully into the message, into the whole idea of the Ramah. Source number 10 in line 6. O Niralish, Mishloach Manos, he will harbo shalom ba'ava v'reyos. Right, Mishloach Manos is to create peace and love and friendship. And skipping down the next line, Mishloach Manos, tov sheyitain meritzono hachavshi. Better to give from a free heart. Mitoch regesh shel ahava la'achiv ha'ivri. Out of a feeling of love for my fellow Jew. V'hunosin rakapit sivui. If he's only giving because he's commanded to give it, hu mafchis midas ha'ahava. That itself is minimizing the love that should be between these two people. V'chena din bistake, etc., etc. So the whole idea, again, was just, where are we now? Had a lot. We had two ideas in Shalach Manos, right? Is it part of a Suda? Is it part of Achva Varith to create unity amongst Klal Yisrael, to have good feelings? Number one, the difference between these two reasons. Number one might be, could you give non-food items? Might depend on the two reasons. Number two, can a person be, if a person is mochel, if they say, it's okay, I don't want it, am I yotzi my mitzvah? Again, if it's part of the din in the Suda, then no. If it's a din in creating achlos, yeah, because I created that friendship. Number three is, what's the reason you don't make a bracha? What's the reason you don't make a bracha, Mishloach Manos? If it's because, if it's part of the Suda, then it can be that because a person might refuse. Then it can be because a person might refuse. Because if a person refuses, I'm not yotzei my mitzvah. But if it's part of achva v'reyus, then that's the reason we don't make a bracha, is because that would undermine the fact that this is supposed to create a connection between two parties. Okay, that is the next idea in the Shalach Manos. Okay, a couple, two or three more, and then we'll sum it up. Interesting discussion. In source number 13, does what you give have to be ready-made? Can you give a piece of raw steak? You know, people might be happier to get a piece of raw steak than to get a bag of chips. But the Mishnah Berurah has two opinions, quotes two opinions, whether you could give something that has to be prepared at the recipient's house. Sometimes, let's say you get a can of something that has to be cooked. So says the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes two opinions. Can you give basar, the middle of the line too, ubi'inon shihei min ochel hamavushal bolo basar chai. You have to give a cooked food and not raw meat. D'mishloach manos haraui miyad la'achila mashma. You have to give food that is ready to be eaten immediately. V'yesh omrim nosama say no. Kivachu shachle broy l'spashom yad. Say that at least as long as it's kosher and they could cook it up, it's okay. You can give that too. Again, those two opinions. So what might these be behind these two opinions? I mean, some machlokas here. So how would you explain this? How would you explain these two opinions? What do you think? No? Yeah, that what? If you say it's a part of the Suda, then what? Then it has to be ready-made to eat. If it's meant to provide for the Suda, then it makes a lot of sense. It has to be ready-made to eat. It has to be cooked. It has to be a cooked meat. What? You're going to give them something that they have to prepare? Then you're not giving them? So then they're doing it for their Suda. But you have to give it for their Suda. So then you have to prepare it at home. But if you say, maybe it's just to create friendship, achvas for reyus, then it can make a lot of sense that they can prepare it. They got the message. They don't have to use it for the Suda, even if it's a piece of raw meat. Again, by all of these cases, we try to be machmir like both opinions. We try to give food items. We try to give ready-made food. We try to give. Make sure at least two people accept our Mishloach Manos. Okay, but most of the time, those are extra. Right? That might not be a kiyum of both opinions. But if that's going to be, but they could theoretically continue their Suda now. You know, as long as Purim's not over, you know, when you bring the Shalach Manos that they bring to the teachers the day after Purim, so then that might not be a key. Okay, one or two others. This comes up very halachah l'maaseh, this next one. The tshuva of the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer is the son of the Chasam Sofer, who's the Rav Moshe Sofer, his father. In source number 14, he has a sapek. Could you give Mishloach Manos anonymously?
Who's going to send it anonymously?
Oh, I'll tell you where it always comes up. Let's say, you know, I'm out delivering shalach manos, and I have a whole list of people that I'm going to, and I bring it into a house. And I bring it into a house, and then I get back into my car, and as I'm driving away, I notice that the card is on the floor that was connected to the mishloach manos. So, and let's say I left it at the door. Let's say they took it and they put it on the table. They're not going to know whose shalach manos is from who. So they're going to look at it later. Oh, this is a beautiful shalach manos. Who's it from? No idea. The card's sitting on the floor of my car. So I gave it anonymously. Was I yotzei the mitzvah? Was I yotzei the mitzvah? I gave it. Beautiful. But the recipient doesn't know who I am. So what do you say? Sorry? Meaning what? So if you say it's part of a... Oh, so... Right, so this one's a little different. So this one's going in the opposite direction, first of all. Because usually we've always said, Achma Vareyas, that's more... Then you're really Yosef. But here's just the opposite. That if it's part of the Seuda, then you provide it for the Seuda. They don't have to know who it's from. You will Yosef your mitzvah. But maybe, and this is what the Ksav Sofer assumes, and you could argue with this, maybe if you say it's to create a connection between Jews, maybe the point is to create a specific connection between two Jews that, oh, I know my neighbor loves me. I know that this person wanted to give me a present. So it could be that you would not be Yotzei with that anonymous gift. That is how the Ksav Sofer assumes. I think you could argue with this. I think you could say maybe Achav Arias is like a general feeling. That, oh, Jews gave me presents. So that's, I think you can argue on that, but I think it's definitely a possibility to say that what he says, that if you say it's to create the feeling of Achdus V'Shalom, you have to know who gave it to you to the Yotzei. And that's what in Source 15, they quote from the Briska Rav, Rabbi Yisrael Zal Salvechik, one of the from Yerushalayim, that he was very makpud every time he got one of the Shalach Manos to look at the card to make sure he knew who it was from, right when it came into his house, to make sure that, you know, that the person who sent it would be Yotzei, because he was machmir like this opinion that, you know, if it's to create a good feeling between the two parties, the two families, that we should know who it's from. So the anonymous issue. There is a connected issue, which basically falls on the same way, which is the issue of recycling. The recycling shalach manos. So I get the shalach manos. So recycling is not a problem, but except in the following way. So I get a great pack of shalach manos, but there's so much garbage in the house already. And this one is really sugary. You know, I don't want this in the house. It's going right out. Comes in, it's going out. So it's one of these tiny little, you know, things that are going to be a whole mess. Anyway, so... Wonderful, right after the person leaves, I start taking out what I want to keep, what I don't want to keep, okay, I run out of shalach manos, so I make a whole new basket, and oy vavoy, what do? I forget to take out the guy's card. So what happens if I send it to somebody, and I give shalach manos, and it's the other guy's card in it? So the person got the wrong card! Hopefully, sometimes you get those little bags, and you forget to rip off the little paper that's connected to the handle. You're like, oh, does it have a thing on it? Oh, it does, so you can save it. Okay, but what if you forget to rip it off? So you'll see a mitzvah. They think they got it from somebody else. So again, it might be this says the Sefer Shalmei Tov in source number 16. It's the same issue. If you say it's Achav Areus, then maybe you're not Yotzei because they think that so and so loves them. And they're thinking it's like Kamsa Bar Kamsa all over again. You know, I didn't get it from one from Kamsa. I got it from, you know, it's a whole mitzvah. But again, if it's part of the Seuda, then it does make a difference. You would Yotzei the mitzvah with this one. So that's why the same issue of the anonymous would be connected. Okay, right, like the concept, right, in Achinami. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. But again, this is just ways to relate it. Okay, just two more, and then we'll summarize. Two more. Let's skip this big source in 17. Let's go to the back page. Rav Avadi Yosef has an interesting discussion in Source 18. He says, can you be Yotzei the mitzvah? He quotes an opinion that said that is quoted as saying, what if you send somebody Chidushei Torah? You send somebody a Dvar Torah. You wrote a beautiful Dvar Torah, you send it to somebody. Can you be Yotzei Shalach Manos with Divrei Torah? You email them a great, I saw that on the internet. Oh, email them a shir on the internet. That's a women's shir. You know, be Yotzei the Mishlach Manos with the shir about Mishlach Manos. So he quotes this an opinion who says, yes, according to both opinions. Now it's not food. It's not food. And how does Torah, how does that create love? So says this opinion in source number 18, line 2, a little small, I'll read it. says its opinion, you're Yotze. The law mi boi litam chibavareus, not only according to the opinion that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to create friendship. She'em locha his chabras yose mi Torah, there is no greater binding element than Torah, coming to a shir together, learning together, having a chavrusa. There is no greater connection amongst Jews than Torah. So for sure, sending a dvar Torah would be yotze the mitzvah, if that's the reason of Mishloach Manos. But then he says also, Ewa, line 4, afilu latam ashumas hadeshen, even according to the first opinion, that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is for the seuda, he says, havi ikir ha-se'uda l'simcha. The whole purpose of having a se'uda is to make you happy. Nothing makes you happier than hearing a good vart. V'divrei Torah, it says, pikuti Hashem yishar mesam chelev, it says in Tehillim, and therefore it says this opinion that is quoted in Rav Avadia, that whether the Mishloach Manos is for the se'uda or for achdus, you biyotze the mitzvah with divrei Torah. That's the opinion that is quoted. He does not like this at all. He says, and this the pashtus is Rav Avadia is right in the middle of line 6. The chol dvarav einam ela drushas ba'alma. He says a beautiful drusha, beautiful homiletics, but topless. You can't be yotze the mitzvah with divrei Torah. Come on, you know, okay, a shirt, something, an object, but the divrei Torah, it's very difficult. So says the al kapanim mishloach manos, but you know, you need a portion of something. So the Rav Avadia says it sounds nice, sounds beautiful, nice drusha, but tachlis, it's not gonna work. That is another issue that might come up, but we basically hold it wouldn't work lamaisa according to either of the opinions. Let's do one more, and then we'll summarize all of them that we did so far. There is one more discussion. Source number 19. This is the gemara that we had all the way at the beginning of the shiur. Abaya bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Michlefi Seuda Sayu Lahadadi. The question that you asked before about having people over for the Seuda. These two rabbis used to switch Seudos on Purim and Biyotze their mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Right, Abaya sends Rabbi Chanina sent to Abaya. They Biyotze their mitzvah. But look at how Rashi interprets the Gemara. Rashi in source 20, Rashi's 900th yard site is this summer. There's a lot of things going on for Rashi. Rashi was Nifter in 1105. So this summer in Tammuz is Rashi's 900th yard site. Rashi is unbelievable. The Jews chavrusa. That's how Menachem talked about him at his siyum. You're never alone. Whenever you learn, Rashi is your chavrusa. It's really true. So Rashi in source 20 says, "Michla b'suda sayu." What does it mean? They switch their seudos. Ze ochelim ze b'purim shel shana zu uvishnia soed chavero imo. What does Rashi say? They switched each year eating at each other. One year, Abaya ate at Rabbi Chanina. The following year, Rabbi Chanina ate at Abaya. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. What's the question? How did the guests, how were they yotzei their mitzvah? Every year, they didn't send it to each other both each year. According to the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, they only sent every other year. I sent to you this year, and then you sent to me next year. So if I invite you to my meal this year, how would you yotzei your mitzvah Mishloach Manos with this Suda? So that's the question that they ask on Rashi. What's going on with this Rashi? Every year? The Gemara makes sense if it's both every year. But if you switch off, how does it work? It says the Bach in source 21, no, it's beautiful. If you hold the reason is to create love and friendship and achva v'reus, that even when I'm eating by you, I have a great feeling because I know our system. I know that I'm eating by you this year, and you're going to eat by me next year, and the feelings are strong every year from both sides because we both remember this deal that we have with each other. So then even though I'm not giving you anything this year, I'm just your guest this year, but I am giving you something. I'm giving you this feeling of achva v'reus that we remember each year, this deal that we have. And that's what he says on line 19. They're happy. They're both happy at the meal. So therefore, according to that reason, it wouldn't work. If the reason is the part of the seuda, then you're right. Then the person who's the guest doesn't supply anything for the host if it's to supply the seuda. But maybe Rashi feels that the reason is achva v'reus, and therefore even the guest would be giving that to the host. So before we conclude, let's just summarize. We had two basic ideas behind the mitzvah mishloach manos. Again, this is a major discussion in the Achronin. There could be another 15 halachas that we could put on this list. We had about 5 or 6. Two major reasons, what's the behind the mitzvah mishloach manos? Is it that it's to help provide for the seudas parim, which would mean that 2 out of the 4 mitzvahs of Purim are connected. Mishloach manos and the seuda are connected. It's really 3 mitzvahs of Purim. Mishloach manos is part of the seuda, and that's what the Rambam seems to say. Or is the reason behind Mishloach Manos, which the Manos HaLevi mentioned, and that is to create a feeling of Achva Vareyos and Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. Many differences would depend, any halachas would depend, whether you could be Yossi or not, on these 2 different reasons. Can you send non-food items? Number 1. What if a person doesn't want to accept your Mishloach Manos? That was number 2. Number 3. What is the reason that you don't make a bracha on Mishloach Manos? Number 4. What if you send it anonymously? Number 5, what if it's not cooked? Does it have to be prepared? Number 6, what if you have the wrong card sent? Could you be Yotze? Number 7, could be Yotze with Divrei Torah. And finally, number 8, what if you don't give each year? You have a deal that you give every other year. There is just one I forgot to mention, and that is, they quote a discussion from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish had a suffix. What if you send a chiloni on Mishloach Manos? You know, he's not going to have a suda. So again, can you be Yossi or Mitzvah with that? Or, so that's part of the question of, if you're going to tell him that he's eating today, and he's not having Kavana, maybe Mitzvah says Yossi Kavana, he's eating a meal on Purim, even though he doesn't know it's Purim, so he's a Yotze. So okay, so let's say the assumption is that he's not going to have the Suda on Purim. But then, you still might be Yossi the Mitzvah, depending on the reason. If it's to create this feeling of love and friendship, then you'd be Yossi the Mitzvah, even if he doesn't have a Suda. But you're right, if he's going to have the Suda anyway, then it wouldn't make a difference. But they could. That's all. Right. He could. But if you know somebody's not going to have a Suda. Because he's not going to have a Suda. You don't think he's going to have a Suda. Yeah. Non-Jewish? Yeah. I would say that. This is not... Give them... There's a separate issue. Are you allowed to give a present to a non-Jew? Separate from Purim. That's called Israel Lo Sachani. So if there's a certain reason, neighborly, you know, like holiday gifts. Right. So, but this is not on Purim. They won't know. So do it a week later. You know, that's at least for sure not on Purim. But in general, you know, it's just to share something. What? I'm sorry. Right. The day before. It's a Nidchet. See, it's a Nidchet. See, it's still in Jerusalem. They're still eating the Suda today. So, okay, so just one final point, and then I'll take any questions. So we have these 2 reasons behind Mishloach Manos, Seuda or Achva Vareyos. Why exactly were the Chachamim Mesakein this specific mitzvah with these 2 reasons? I saw a beautiful idea from Rav Warman, used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Henk, She'eris Yosef. He has about 20 svarim out. So he there's a Gemara in Megillah, source 22. The Gemara asks, why were Klal Yisrael subject to annihilation in the times of Haman? You know, what they do that was so bad? What was so bad? That's what the students ask for Shimon Bar Yochai. Why were they subject to annihilation? You say, figure it out. So Amru Lo, 2 ideas. Number 1, reason number 1, they took part in the festivities, in the party that Achashverosh made. The Gemara specifically says they enjoyed it. Shenehene. Doesn't just say they took part in it. They enjoyed the party. Remember, this party was the party after 70 years when Achashverosh miscalculated, and he said, oh, there's not going to be a second Beis HaMikdash. It was at the end of the 70 years of Galus, and he calculated that there was supposed to be a Beis HaMikdash. That was the Nevuah. No Beis HaMikdash. That's why if you look at similar parallels between Perek Aleph of Megillas Esther and the description of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chelim, Mikhelim Shonim, it says they used the Chelim of the Beis HaMikdash, but this party was basically a party that the Jews were still in Galus. And Klal Yisrael took part in that, they were happy in that, that's what the Gemara says, that was part of the problem. So reason number 1 is Shenet, that's as a punishment of that they took part in this party, in this Seuda. And then the second reason given is then the Gemara says maybe only people, Jews in Shushan should have been killed for that. What about the rest of the world? They didn't do it. So the second answer is Amr Lahem that they shehishtachavu l'tzelem Avodah Zarah. Either maybe some say there was an Avodah Zarah on Haman's neck, some say that maybe Haman himself, but either way the Avodah Zarah was the chait. So Rav Warman suggests maybe these two ideas to connect to the two reasons of Shalach Manos. One of the problems was that they had an improper Su'uda. Improper Su'uda at the time of Haman. So Dafka, we have a Mishloach Manos, which is helping Misaki in the Su'uda. This is to help you with your Su'uda, with your Su'udas Mitzvah. That's to help that reason. What about Avodah Zarah? So what's Avodah Zarah? So you have to add one more source. The Medrash Tanchuma on the bottom of the page says that the kapara for Avodah Zarah, the way we do tshuva for it, is to become unified under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be ma'achid ourselves under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as a counter for Avodah Zarah, the parallel is Achdus, Achdus V'Reyus. So to counter the Su'uda of the time of Achashverosh, we have Mishloach Manos, which helps contribute to the Su'uda on Purim. To counter the Avodah Zarah that took place in the time of Achashverosh, we're ma'achid ourselves by giving Mishloach Manos. So those two reasons parallel the two Chataim that took place that are mentioned in the Gemara. Okay, so that might connect to the two reasons of Mishloach Manos. Okay, this is one mitzvah of the day. This is Mishloach Manos. And again, any questions about this or about anything else about Purim, feel free to ask. Yeah. Honey. The Ramah says that the Su'udah should be in the morning. Chatzos is 12:02. So the Iker part of the Su'udah should be before them. I mean, it should be, you should wash, you should have, you know, you shouldn't just like wash at 12:01. You know, at least l'chatchila. Again, if you don't have time and you get out and you get back after that, for sure, have the Su'udah later. But because it's Erev Shabbos, there's a halacha every week that we're not supposed to have a set meal Friday afternoon. We're supposed to go into Shabbos with a taiva, with an appetite. So therefore, the halacha is that's a din daraisa, or at least maybe close to, not a daraisa, but it's a serious din, that we're supposed to go into Shabbos hungry. Right, we're not supposed to, you know, even if we taste food on Erev Shabbos and we want to make sure it tastes good, we're not supposed to, you know, the kids can, because then they would behave better as long as they're fed on Fridays. But you know, we're not supposed to eat a lot. So because of that, the Ramah says, even though generally the Su'udah Purim is supposed to be in the afternoon, but when it comes to Purim on Friday, so the Ramah says it's better to have the Su'udah, one should have the Su'udah in the morning. Again, I heard there are some groups that are having some late in the day, and then they're stopping, and they're benching, and they're davening, and they're continuing the meal. Again, it leads to confusion, and just to have it in the morning. The Ramah says before Chatzos, so in Woodmere, check on the Luach for Woodmere, 12:02 is Chatzos on Friday. So therefore, we should have, you don't have to bench by 12:02, but you do not have to bench by 12:02, but you should, you know, have a good part of the Su'udah, let's say call it for 11:15. Well, for 11:15, 11:30 even. You know, if you have 11:30, you wash and have... Again, you don't have to have three courses. L'chadchila to have pleishiks. Right, to have pleishiks at 9:15 in the morning, I think it would be more difficult. But if you have pleishiks, when do you eat? Well, 11:30. A lot of times you could eat... I mean, if we wouldn't stay in shmooze in shul, and we wouldn't think back a couple of years when we wanted to get home, we were actually hungry on a short... What? By kiddush. We're eating by kiddush at 11:30 a lot of times. You know, so... again, you speak to people who go to Ashkama Minyan. Okay, but even to have 11:30, to call it for 11, but really, you could call it for 11:15, but wash, mamish, by 11:30, and to have, again, you don't have to have three courses for this. It's Friday morning, make it easier. Don't go crazy. You want soup? You have soup and a deli platter. And that's it. Or soup and a couple of cutlets. Or a couple of, make a chicken. All you have to have is a kazayas. You don't have to have a whole three pieces of steak. I'm just saying to make it easy. You don't have to, don't worry about it. Again, you're going to be cooking for Shabbos also. You're supposed to enjoy Purim. Purim is a happy day. Yeah, you can do Shalach Manos afterwards. Right, and sit down, have a deli sandwich, have a cup of wine, and Yosi Yosuda. So that's, again, Mishloach Manos you could do the whole day. You could really do everything the whole day, but at least L'chadchila, you know, you're supposed to do it earlier. Again, at least do a couple of Shalach Manos in the morning. So you could be Yosi that reason. Another halacha I just wanted to add regarding Tainus Esther. So the Tainus Esther is the most Mako fast day of the whole year, which means if somebody is nursing or pregnant, no fasting, period. Even if you're a good faster, no fasting, period, no fasting. If that's nursing or pregnant. If somebody is not nursing or pregnant, so then L'chadchila, which we're supposed to try, this is an ancient minhag of Chal Yisrael that we fast the Tainus Esther, we're supposed to fast. And so we should try. If somebody feels bad enough that they have to go lie down, they could break their fast. The same kind of rules as if you can take medicine on Shabbos. If you're get to the status of a chola she'ein bo sakana, which means you have to go to bed. You can't function, so then you're allowed to break your fast. But even if you're fasting, an important halacha, especially for women who are coming to hear the second Megillah reading, they don't have to fast until they hear Megillah. When the fast is over, you eat. You're not supposed to, you don't wash and don't have a whole meal, but at least eat something. Have a cup of orange juice and a piece of cake and something before the Megillah. You know, the fast is over. You know, you're only not supposed to have a Sudas Keva before the Megillah, so you don't forget. But to have something to break your fast, you know, that is fine. Again, if you're going to come to shuls, then, you know, you'll also, I mean, once the fast is over, you can take a drink. You know, you don't have to not eat. Okay, so that's regarding Tainus Esther. Yeah. The minog is to send two separate brachas. What exactly is the makar for that? I'm sure there is. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm sure it's a clear makar. But the minog is to send two different brachas. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Again, that's just to say that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to. That just means at least at least one of yours should be to somebody to yosei the mitzvah. Fine, it's fine. They could. But again, all of this is just what we spoke about. Oh, you yotzei, but to give to all your non-firm neighbors, great, wonderful. It's one of the few holidays you don't know what you have driving and chilul and you could share this holiday with everybody. So but especially just waiting to your question now, you know, especially if they give something to you on Halloween, because like they call Purim the Jewish Halloween, whatever. We don't want to have any parallels. So specifically, I wouldn't do it on Purim. I wouldn't do it on Purim. Anything else? Nope. Okay, we should all have a prayer from Purim, and Beth Hashem, soon the next year will be in Yoni Pesach in a couple of weeks. Okay.